Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. With Opel and the all-new Opel Astra. German engineering at its core. It's our most efficient Astra yet.
First this morning, the UK Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Brandon Lewis, announced on Monday that he would not order a public inquiry into the murder of Pat Finucane. The decision was described as astonishing and an insult by the Finucane family. Taoiseach Micheál Martin branded it arrogant and cruel, and four Stormont parties have called on the British government to reconsider. I'm joined on the line now by Nuala O'Loan, the former police ombudsman in Northern Ireland. Good morning to you and thank you for speaking to us. What was your reaction to the Secretary of State's announcement this week?
Well, I wasn't at all surprised because they have, the British government have indicated in the past that they're unwilling to have any more public inquiries, and certainly in Northern Ireland. So I wasn't surprised, but I do think it was the wrong decision. I think that where you have you have proved state collusion, as we do in this case, there remain unanswered questions, and the public interest requires that we seek as best we can to get the answers to those questions.
And are there any other reasons why a public inquiry is so merited in this case? Because the DUP in particular has said that there have been very many investigations into the killing of Pat Finucane. What more do we need to learn?
Well, I think the suggestion is that this is one of many murders which are to a degree unresolved, because of course Brian Nelson was convicted of the murder of Patrick Finucane. But I think that the importance of this one is that it's among others, it's one in which the rule of law, which is the basis of the whole operation of our society, was, if you like, set aside by agents of the state. And when that happens, that attacks the whole integrity of, if you like, the British state, of our way of doing things. And the questions do remain, how high did it go? I think that's what Pat Finucane's family really want to know, how high did it go? And I think that, you know, we're still fighting terrorism. Indeed, we're fighting terrorism on many fronts now. And I think it's profoundly important that we learn any lessons which can be learned, so that we do it better in future.
And Brandon Lewis, the Secretary of State, he referred to the investigations by the current police ombudsman and by the PSNI in his House of Commons statement. And that's why, it's because of those investigations, that's why he's ruling out a public inquiry at the moment. Is he right that you can't do it concurrently?
Well, both the PSNI and the current police ombudsman have said they're not doing any investigations. The PSNI are contemplating a possible review. They do review cases, but this case has been reviewed to such an extent that I don't think a review would take us very much further. I think what needs to be done is an inquiry with the powers that, you know, even an investigation doesn't have to get into the security service and to find out what happened there. So I think that in the case of the police ombudsman, it's even more odd because the police ombudsman has said she is not investigating any matter connected to the murder of Patrick Finucane. I know that 13 matters, I think, were referred to her after Desmond De Silva did his report. But those are not... They're not matters which require investigation in order to resolve what happened in the murder of Pat Finucane. I don't know, but my understanding is that they are other murders which were committed by people which have been identified in the course of the Silver Review and the other investigations. You know, I mean, I did an investigation myself into the death of a man called Raymond McCord Jr., which dealt with the UVF, and we identified at least 10, probably 20 other murders, attempted murders, etc., and all those had to be dealt with separately. So I think that's what's going on, if it's going on in the police ombudsman's office. And of course, she doesn't have the resources to deal with it anyway.
Mm-hmm. And the remit for the police ombudsman only concerns police officers.
Yes. Yes, that's right. The remit, the police ombudsman has no power to investigate the MOD, for example, or any military, or the security service, or indeed the loyalist paramilitaries. And that is why, I mean, I did contemplate as police ombudsman the murder of Patrick Finucane and whether I needed to call it in. But I knew that I would get, that John Stevens was working on it initially, and the work that he did was very, very well done. But he had powers which I didn't have because he could investigate anybody. And I knew that I could take it no further. Mm-hmm. So that's why I didn't attempt it or, attempt to do anything with it. So the police ombudsman quite simply has nothing in this context, in the context of the murder of Patrick Finucane, that she's not doing anything. So there's no purpose in waiting for her to do the things which aren't related to his murder and which she has no resources to do anyway.
Another related point on that is the letter from the SDLP, the Alliance Party, Sinn Féin and the Green Party to the Secretary of State urging him to reconsider. It makes the point that what he is saying places both the Office of the Police Ombudsman and the PSNI in the middle of an historic murder investigation at a time when the intent is to take legacy out of policing. Are they right on that point?
Well, certainly the intent is to take legacy out of policing, and that's what should happen. We all know that what we need is an independent historic investigations unit, not as described by secretaries of state, with a limited remit of 5 years to do all the work, but an independent historical investigations unit which can do the work which needs to be done, can provide the truth to families where there's no evidence for prosecution, which will be most of them, and then can prosecute where there is evidence to put before the court so that the rule of law applies throughout the process. And it can only be done properly and really well if it's the Independent Historic Investigations Unit. But the government are very reluctant to establish this from what I can see.
Mm-hmm. Just going back to what Brandon Lewis said about the PSNI and the Ombudsman being allowed to get on with their work, and I know that you say that there is nothing going on there that relates specifically to that. Yes. So, but even if there were, would it preclude an inquiry happening?
Not necessarily. I mean, public inquiries do happen at the same time as criminal investigations of matters related to that public inquiry. So those conducting the inquiry would have regard to the possibility of a prosecution were such a matter to arise, and would guard against any possible contamination of any future prosecution. So that it is not necessary to wait until everything has been done by the PSNI, who haven't started any review, who aren't doing anything, and who on the current state of affairs are not really going to get to anything productive very soon. I think it's just throwing it into the long grass.
I just want to ask you about the DUP position on this, because they didn't sign that letter that I referred to earlier. Mm. And Sammy Wilson, the DUP MP, said he went further and he criticised Brandon Lewis for not ruling out a future inquiry. And the DUP has pointed to the cost of such an inquiry. They say that this would lend special attention to one case. And they say that hundreds of millions have been spent on investigating this one murder already. What do you say to that argument?
I think it's an argument they're entitled to make, but it's not an argument which to me holds any water. I mean, the hundreds of million which have been spent, as they say, I have never seen the costings on Stevens, but it will have been an expensive investigation. And De Silva was much more limited. And Corey did an investigation too to determine whether De Silva needed to do an investigation. But at the end of the day, there remain unanswered questions which go to the heart of the integrity of the state and the way in which it operated. You know, the reality is that by creating a border and dividing the North and the South, the seeds of the conflict were sown decades ago by the British government, and I think it is now for the British government to do what it needs to do to provide the proper funding to solve the problem and not to push it into the remit of the devolved government, which doesn't have the funding to do it.
Mm. But given what was said this week by the Secretary of State, it doesn't seem as though there's a possibility of a public inquiry taking place at any time in the near future.
Well, that's my view. My view is that the Secretary of State and the government are decided that there will be no public inquiry. That doesn't mean that there shouldn't be a public inquiry, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying there should be. There are other cases which might also merit a public inquiry, such as the Omagh bomb, and you could go through many undoubtedly, but I think the way to do this now is to establish, as I said, a unit which can actually deal with these cases. And public inquiries are very, very expensive. But part of the reason they're expensive is that so many lawyers become involved, and the legislation is circumscribed by so many requirements of the inquiry that it becomes you know, a cash-consuming exercise in its own right, because everybody who's involved really needs lawyers, and all those lawyers talk to the other lawyers, and all that costs so much, and then people bring legal challenges to it. That's why they cost so much.
So are you saying then that the Historical Investigations Unit would be a better vehicle to look at this and all of the other?
No, I'm not. I'm saying that the Historical Investigations Unit needs to be established to deal with all the unsolved cases in Northern Ireland, and that the government are not doing that. And I'm saying that in this case, I do believe that there is merit in a public inquiry. You know, if it's right to have a public inquiry into the activities of a surgeon or a doctor, rather, somewhere in Northern Ireland, we won't be specific, as we are, then I think it merits a public inquiry into the murder of a solicitor in Belfast, which involved agents of the state.
What are your thoughts for the Finucane family this week and what they've been through throughout this whole journey?
Well, I mean, I think it makes them relive the trauma that they suffered that day again and again and again. And I think, I don't know, I would want to express my sympathies to them again, but I think that most of all, they must feel betrayed yet again, because the Supreme Court did say that there hadn't been an Article 2 compliant investigation, you know, a human rights compliant investigation. Now, the purposes of a public inquiry and the purposes of an investigation are different. You know, so it wasn't necessarily that there should be another investigation, but a public inquiry empowered with statutory powers could do that which I think an investigation couldn't do.
Nuala O'Loan, thank you for joining us this morning.
Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
A little earlier in the programme, we were speaking to Nuala O'Loan, the former police ombudsman for Northern Ireland, about the decision of the British government not to hold a public inquiry into the murder of Pat Finucane. Well, Pat's son, Michael, was listening to that interview and he joins me now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Clare.
What did you think of what Nuala O'Loan had to say this morning?
Well, as ever, Nuala's clear and concise description of everything, you know, cuts through an awful lot of the political noise that seems to have developed around the Secretary of State's decision. We met with Brandon Lewis on Monday, and while the decision of the British government not to hold a public inquiry at this time didn't come as a surprise, it was disappointing. But what was very strange was the reasons that he gave us, namely that the PSNI were still conducting an investigation, as was the police ombudsman. Now, I think that decision has moved from the realm of strange to the realm of unsustainable, given the announcements by the chief constable of the PSNI and also the police ombudsman that neither of them are pursuing any current investigations into my father's case. So it's really becoming quite frustrating that the British government are coming up with reasons that, you know, other state agencies are openly and publicly disagreeing with, and one can only conclude that there is just a stubborn refusal to hold an inquiry for reasons best known to themselves.
Mm. Nuala O'Loan said that you and your family have been betrayed by this again. Is that right?
Well, I wouldn't disagree with the word betrayal. I suppose the only thing is, I would say is, you know, I don't expect anything from the British government in terms of honour or respect when it comes to the Pat Finucane case, because they ran out of road on that score a long time ago. But what I do expect is that they will abide by the judgment of the UK Supreme Court. I mean, that's their Supreme Court. And if they have any respect for the rule of law in their own country at all, then they should honour that judgment and implement the public inquiry that will provide the effective investigation that the UK Supreme Court said was lacking.
So given that you've had a few days to process this now and this decision, even though, as you say yourself, it wasn't unexpected to you, what do you do next? Where do you take it from here?
Well, the Secretary of State was forced to make his decision on the Monday the 30th because of court proceedings that we brought. Those proceedings are still live. But it may be that we need to initiate a fresh case to challenge the decision that's been taken, and the reasons are, you know, all too obvious for given what's been publicised in the media. I think also we will be consulting with friends and supporters in the political arena over the coming months into 2021. The Taoiseach and the Minister for Foreign Affairs have been extraordinarily helpful, and I imagine we'll be talking to them, and they will in turn be discussing the matter with the Secretary of State and the Prime Minister. We've also had support in the past from one Senator, Joe Biden, who now is the President-elect of the United States, and he clearly has a very strong link to Ireland. And I would imagine we'll probably be seeking support from the White House, perhaps even direct intervention with the British Prime Minister to try and resolve this case.
Okay, Michael Finucane, thank you for joining us on the programme this morning.